Take your Bibles and go to Luke 17. Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. And we're going to read verses 20 to 24. I'll read verse 20. You read verse 21 with me. We'll use this to kick off tonight. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he said unto the disciples, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." And let's pray together. Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Thank you again for your word, your wonderful word. I just pray that, Lord, please, you've used this in my life. It has strengthened me. It has helped me. And, Father, I wish the same for these people tonight. Help us, please, open our eyes and let us behold wonderful things out of thy law. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. You can keep your Bibles open. Look at the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. When I went to Bible college, I remember one of my first Bible classes in New Testament survey, and I won't tell you the teacher's name, but I thought, wow, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And I sat there for 45 minutes, and when he was done, I had a headache. Okay? Did me no favors whatsoever. And I was just as confused when I left class, and I had never heard solid teaching on this that helped me with my Bible until I started teaching Baptist history. And when I started teaching Baptist history, you start seeing the difference between us as Baptists and other sects, S-E-C-T-S, of Christianity, and literally other religions. This is one of the teachings that sets us apart, and our thinking is different because of how we read the Bible. And I don't think, you know, I've used Brother Garland this morning in the message, didn't ask his permission. I know he wouldn't sue me. And Mrs. Moody, when I taught this for the first time 5 years ago, she came up to me and said, "I've never heard that before. That was such a help." I never forgot that. And so I ought to teach things more than once every 5 years, but let's launch into this. When you're talking about a kingdom, we know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, okay? We know that there's a coming kingdom, but how do you refer to the present time? You know, 1 Timothy 1:17, under the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing," that's the rapture, "and his kingdom," that's his reigning when he comes to reign. "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." So we know Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The important thing is he's not reigning right now. Okay? It's important that you understand that. Yes, he is King of Kings. He's overall. He knows what's going on. Everything's on his timetable. But he is not reigning. You know, those old, excuse me for the, you know, some of my, you know, contemporary background, but some of those old stupid contemporary songs of the 80s. "Our God reigns." Woo! Boy, that'll pop a crowd. It's false. But boy, it'll get an amen. You know what I mean? Because our reigning God, our God is going to reign. You ever heard the old statement, you give somebody enough rope and they'll hang themselves? God is showing mankind, you can do nothing right. One day he's going to come and reign and show us how it's done. But for the past 6,000 years, that's why there's been nothing but sin and war and death and disease. Because man can't do anything right. All right. It's about to come to an end, but there's a reason things are the way they are. Now, I'm going to give you some overview things in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in Sunday school. We covered it. Each gospel or evangelist gives you an aspect of Jesus Christ that God wants you to see Jesus as. Okay? Without going into in depth with that, Matthew shows Jesus as the King, King of the Jews. And in Matthew, it's important that you understand the only book of the Bible that mentions the kingdom of heaven is the book of Matthew. You won't find kingdom of heaven anywhere else in your Bible. Okay? That's important. Next, God tells us to rightly divide the Bible, rightly divide the word of truth. And God says study. You know, the King James Bible is the only Bible that says to study. All the other Bibles remove that word. God wants you to study your Bible. How are we supposed to study it? We rightly divide the word of truth. How do we do that? Topically is what we did this morning. I took the two words, one another, and I went through the New Testament, and I said, what does God tell us to do with one another? Right? So that's a topical Bible study. There's nothing wrong with topical. For instance, okay, what does the Bible have to say about salvation? What does the Bible teach about marriage or child rearing or all of these topics, you know, finances and money, leadership, the home? God, it's wonderful to study your Bible that way. What does God say on this one topic? But when you study, make sure you rightly divide the word of truth, and that is done this way. Is this dealing with the Jews or the Gentiles? In other words, God told Israel, if you obey my commandments, I'll bless your crops. And you will profit physically. If you get right with me, I'll heal your land. That's for Israel. If you, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If you get right with God, because that's a promise with Israel, God will help you. God will help your family. But God's not going to save your nation because you get saved. Amen? That is a specific promise for Israel. As much as I would like America to get healed, okay? God's not going. So, does this deal with Israel, Jews, Gentiles, Israel, and the church? Is it deal with the kingdom of heaven, or does it deal with the kingdom of God? That is rightly dividing the word of truth, all right? So, topical Bible studies can easily be taken out of context if you do not rightly divide the word of truth. And I know we're independent fundamental Baptists, and I love that, but some people have weird ways of studying the Bible. They don't rightly divide. They'll topically study it, but they don't divide. Tonight is one illustration of dividing what parts of the Bible go where. What is the kingdom of God? Okay? We read Luke 17:20, and I think verse 20 and 21 need to be marked in your Bible because it says the kingdom of heaven comes not with observation. Some will say, see here, or see here. Jesus said, don't listen to that. The kingdom of God, verse 21, the kingdom of God is within you. It is an unseen, it is a kingdom you cannot see. Those verses are very important. Now, we read those at the start of the service. There, I'll show you how they fit in here in just a minute. Now go to Romans chapter 14, and you'll find the same thing. Romans chapter 14. If you'll let me lay the foundation for tonight, then we'll show you the application and how it helps you with your Bible. I don't know why more people don't teach this. I personally have never heard any teaching on this, and I don't try to teach something new. I just love teaching you things that help you with your Bible. Okay? Romans 14. Watch this, and look at verse number 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God, two places, Luke 17 and Romans 14, says it's not physical things like meat and drink, something that you can touch or see. It is joy and peace. It's within you. It's an unseen kingdom. Those verses will help you understand the rest of what we're showing you. Okay? Now go to Matthew 12, verse 28 through 30. Matthew 12, 28 through 30. We'll look at a few more verses here on the kingdom of God, and then we'll look at the kingdom of heaven. And then we'll try to apply it tonight. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28 through 30. And Matthew 12, 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Okay, you can read that chapter by yourself, but Jesus said, when I address the unseen world, devils, and casting them out of people, you're seeing the kingdom of God at work. You're seeing the unseen kingdom, right? Okay? You've known the kingdom of God has come unto you when I work with the invisible world. Okay? Look at John 18:36. Just a few things. John, as Jesus stands before Pilate, John chapter 18. And I think what you'll find is just the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, just like God is different from heaven, okay, they're not the same. They're two totally different items. Look at John chapter 18, look at verse 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. You know, I've heard some people say, you know, those Jews, they murdered Jesus, and they did turn him over, and it was a kangaroo trial, and it was all lies. I understand all that, but they'll say, man, if I'd been there and seen Jesus being mistreated, I'd taken a machine gun and killed them all. Okay, Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants wouldn't let this happen to me. My kingdom is not of this world. I wanted to say to the person, I'll take a machine gun and shoot them all. I want to say, well, then who would have died for your sins, ding dong? You know what I mean? Just a little common sense domino, you know. But anyways, Jesus said, that's why if my servants were of this world, he said, if my kingdom was of this world, he said, then my servants would free me. You know, all of heaven was poised just like this. Up in heaven, all the angels were like, just all you got to do is nod your head, we'll kill them all. Right? They done it in the Old Testament. That's how come he told Peter, you don't think I couldn't call enough angels? This is why I came. I came to die, but my kingdom is not of this world. That verse is very important in the day and age we live in, because when in the 2016 election, when Ted Cruz is running for the presidency, they asked Ted Cruz, who has a preacher for a daddy, and I think he's Baptist and all this, but the kingdom of heaven stuff, they asked Ted Cruz, so do you think America should be brought back to God at gunpoint? And Ted Cruz said, oh yeah. There's a sector of Christianity that says we need to take America back for God. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We don't work that way. We go soul winning. We go house to house. We invite people to be saved. Then whoever's willing to come to church and learn the Bible and grow, that's our kingdom is unseen. But we don't
time to go to church.
I couldn't imagine doing that, but interesting verse, John chapter 18, verse 36. Very helpful. The kingdom that we're in is not of this world. We're not trying to take things by force. So the kingdom of God is going to deal with our spiritual life and growth in Christ during the New Testament time until the rapture takes place. Right now, we're in the kingdom of God. We're in an invisible realm. We're not in a physical kingdom. That's coming. Okay? So, if you take the thoughts, that's what we've learned thus far. The kingdom of God is now. It's an invisible kingdom. It doesn't come with observation. Then I'm going to use some scripture here real quick to give an overview, and I hope this pops when you read your Bible. Your inward man is supposed to be important to you. It's renewed day by day, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. When you read your Bible and you spend time with God now, the kingdom of God is being strengthened because it's in you. It's within you. That's why I would think during these times that we're in right now, where everybody's got questions and what's happening in our nation and all this stuff, I'll show you. We're not living for this world. We're living for, and praise God, the world to come. Next, yielding to the Holy Spirit is supposed to be important to you. You're only as strong as God can use you. Being saved means God can help you, but just because you're saved doesn't mean God helps you. I know plenty of Christians that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. Your ability to give yourself to God so He can fill you determines your maturity as a Christian. That's what's supposed to be happening now. Okay, let me give you another thought. Remember now, we're thinking kingdom of God, not with observation. It's within you. Your Christ-likeness is supposed to be growing because it's the unseen world. Your ability to forgive, your ability to love your enemies, your ability to pray, your ability to walk with God. You're supposed to be growing spiritually now, and if you aren't, then you got your eyes on the wrong thing. You say, well, preacher, that's pretty common sense. That's the reason why we come to church, so we can get fed, right, and encouraged to do what God saved us to do. But you're supposed to be, how much are you like Jesus this year that you weren't last year? I'm supposed to be growing more like Him. Christian, a one who reminds me of Christ. That's the whole object of Christianity, right? How many people do you remind of Jesus? How many people, okay, let's rephrase that and then I'll move on. How many people think of Jesus and you help them do that when they're around you? That's Christianity, right? If they're lost, you help them get saved. If they're saved, you help them live for the Lord. Here we go. I'm taking that inward. See, this isn't, I know we know this, but if you put it in the perspective of where we're at right now, what we're supposed to be doing, the will of God for your life is supposed to be important to you. That's God's will, Romans 12, right? The perfect and acceptable and the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. What does God want me to do? It's not supposed to be, well, what I've always wanted to do is. We live in a day of humanism. People take their desires, put God with it, and then they've got to feel like they got a free check. You know, well, I've always wanted to play with skateboards, so I have a skateboard ministry. I've always collected baseball cards, so I have a baseball card ministry. It's stupid what people you just take whatever it is you want to do, put the Lord with it, and wow, now it's a shallow Christianity and spirituality. What does God want you to do? All of us are supposed to be living for the will of God. Tomorrow, I love this thought. You say, I already know the way to work. Lord, what would you have me do today? Is there somebody you want my path to cross with? Lord, I want to do your will. Okay? Just taking that thought. It's supposed to be the prevalent thing in our life right now. Jesus taught principles and how to live in the kingdom of God on the Sermon on the Mount. And that's Matthew 5. Then living after the flesh will hinder your spiritual growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here we go. Turn there real quick. Ready? And it's going to mention the kingdom of God. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Okay? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It does not say, it's not talking about salvation. Okay, the Bible's written to saved people, right? It's not written to lost people. So this isn't saying clean up your life so you can get saved. He's talking to Christians at Corinth and he's saying your lifestyle is going to cost you your inheritance when you get to heaven, to where you'll have nothing. The unrighteous have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. How you are living now, watch this, follow through. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit, there it is again, the kingdom of God. You know how many sermons I've heard preachers preach on this passage saying, if you're doing these things right here, you can't go to heaven. That's not what it says. It says if you're a Christian and you're involved in any of these things, when you get to heaven, you'll be saved by the skin of your teeth, but you won't have an inheritance. You won't have anything. That's how that's supposed to be. You say, why? Because it's the kingdom of God. It's kingdom of God. So he's telling the Christians, live spiritually now. And we'll get into that next week when we look at Corinthians. So you've got the kingdom of God is what we're in right now. 2 Corinthians 5:7, you'll hear me say this again. We walk by faith, not by sight. What's that mean? My ability to trust God and what he wants to do in my life is much more important than what I can see going on. Okay? We walk by faith, not by sight. So the kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom, and it's going to deal with us, the Gentiles, and the local church. Next, now let's think about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, you know, if you just take that phrase, the first time it's mentioned in the Bible, Matthew 3:2, when Jesus said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in Matthew 4, when Jesus went out, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When we go soul winning, I've told you before, we don't say that. I've never knocked on somebody's door and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's not the gospel, right? But the Jews had to reject Jesus in Matthew 11. So until you get to Matthew chapter 11, they preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is here. He's here to reign. They had to tell him, you know, we have no king but Caesar, and they had to reject the king. So you've got the kingdom of heaven here being preached. Then John chapter 1, verse 11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Then John 19:15, the rejection, but they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. So there's your rejection. So they reject the physical kingdom of Jesus, Jesus being the king. He's delivered for our offenses and for our sins. And, okay, now, in Matthew 11, I kind of want to get to the picture because I want to show you some things. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The kingdom of heaven is obviously, by Jesus' words, going to deal with the Old Testament. It's going to be a physical kingdom. It's not the kingdom of God, but it's a physical kingdom. From the days of John the Baptist until now, when Jesus was here, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We're in the times of the Gentiles right now. We glanced at that. What's the times of the Gentiles? That's where worldly kings are fighting for domination. Who's the world power at the time, right? That's been going on for 2,600 years. It'll end when Jesus comes. But right now, Jesus said, the violent take the kingdom by force. That's how the Gentiles rule, who can control each other and whose army is bigger than each other's, right? So it's a physical, violent, bloody war. It's involved with that. That's going to be your kingdom of heaven. For the prophets, all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, okay? So keep on looking at the kingdom of heaven. We know the kingdom of God's invisible. Kingdom of heaven is going to be these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, the reason I put that up there, Jesus said, when you go out, I don't want you talking to anybody but Jews. Don't talk to Gentiles, that's us, right? I want you only talking to Jews. That's so that the Jews could reject him. They had to go through that. So that's why, hey, when we go out soul winning, we do what? We're supposed to talk to everything that breathes, right? We give tracts to everybody. We don't go, you, but not you, not you. Ah, you. You understand? Okay, so good. And watch this. This doesn't confuse you if you rightly divide the word of truth. We're not in this time right now. It's Bible, amen, it's true, but we're not here. So the kingdom of heaven is going to deal with the Jewish theocracy of the Old Testament, or when Jesus comes to reign in the millennium after the tribulation period. But it's not now. All right? So now that we know that the kingdom of heaven is an outside or without kingdom, it's a literal kingdom or a theocracy, and it deals with the Jews and Israel. All right? Now let's see if we can start putting some things together. The kingdom of heaven is going to help you understand the parables. Put your emphasis on the spiritual values, not material possessions. Have you all heard of the health and wealth gospel? They say if you'll trust Jesus, God wants you rich and God wants to bless you. All of that garbage is called kingdom now preaching. You can have the kingdom in your life. It's weird. God wants you rich. What a stupid statement. Jesus didn't own a house. So Jesus was a failure? I'm telling you, there's all types of weird teaching out there, and it's all based on, we need to live for the kingdom, and, you know, stupid things like, you're the body of Christ, so you are Jesus. Watch, this is where it goes. So anything you speak, anything you want, you just talk it. And, okay, I've heard that since the 80s and the 70s. That's all Pentecostalism. That's all kingdom of heaven. Yes, God wants you. Any car that you want, go to the car lot at night and lay your hands on that car and speak, this is my car, because I am of the kingdom. It's so goofy, so dorky. The emphasis of the king, if you think the kingdom of heaven is now, then your emphasis is on a big house and a car and money. It's not on the inward values, it's on the outward. Okay? That's how come you know that type, okay, that's why as a Christian, that type of preaching should red flag you and go, that's a screwball. Amen? That guy is nuts. All right? But that type of preaching is all over internet in America. Put your emphasis on spiritual values, okay? Here we go. Now, if we look at the parables, and this is where I think it gets wonderful, you can divide most of the parables that Jesus taught. Not all, and I'll show you which ones, but most of the parables fall, Jesus said in the book of Luke, the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. And he gave parables that said, let me show you what the kingdom of God is like. That's going to be for us, right? Then he said in Matthew only, the kingdom of heaven is like. And the kingdom of heaven is like, and the kingdom of heaven, and these parables are going to either deal with the Old Testament or they're going to deal with the millennial kingdom. All right? And I'll show you what happens if you get them mixed up here in just a second. There are five parables that cross over where Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a sower that went out to sow, and the kingdom of God is like a sower that went forth to sow. Why is that? Because, after we get through some of these parables here, we're soul winning now from time Jesus dies to the rapture, right, and then the tribulation, and there'll be lost people in the kingdom of heaven that need to get saved, right? So we'll be sowing the word of God in both kingdoms, okay? How about this? Let me go back. This is a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed that is sown becomes a great tree. Luke 13, the kingdom of God is like. Why? What's the mustard seed a picture of? Faith. Is faith used now, and will faith be used in the millennium? Yes, it will. There's a few parables that work for both time frames. Now, the leaven, the lost sheep, servants and the talents. So you've got your five parables here. Now, when it comes to making sure that this is, okay, if, take your Bible and go to Matthew 13, verse 24. Matthew 13. If you put the parables in the wrong place, you end up teaching false doctrine. You end up, and this is what I, until the Lord helped me and took me through some of this. I'm going to show you some passages. Watch this. Matthew 13, look at verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy barn? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Watch carefully. Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Okay? Now, tares are fake wheat, so you could say tares are fake Christians. Wheat's real Christians. They grow together, right? Notice how the separation happens. Look at the next verse. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So what does he gather first? The bad, right? It says, Then I'll gather the good. If you put that parable, which is a kingdom of heaven parable, if you put that over here, okay, I guess I can tell you this, like my grandpa did. I said, Grandpa, I believe the rapture. He said, Turn to Matthew 13. He said, So you really believe God's going to come and take you out and you're going to physically rise because you're a Christian and leave the rest here during the tribulation? I said, Yeah, that's what the Bible teaches. He said, Read that verse to me. Who does God take out first? I said, The tares. He said, There's no rapture. Do you see what he did? He took a parable that belonged over here. Okay? When Jesus comes, who does he remove first? The goats, right? The tares. So here he does remove the bad first, but not here. During the rapture, poof, we're out, and then the lost are left here, and Israel, on it goes with the tribulation. Do you see how, okay, I'll show it to you again. If you put, when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven, put it in the right time frame. Put it when he's physically reigning. Don't put a kingdom of heaven parable, okay, these parables here, over here, for us. We don't do that. Okay, let me tell you something else this parable I think you could pull from. Well, you just need to, look, I preach salvation, I'll preach how clear it is, how easy it is to be saved, but if you're lost, I'm not supposed to root you out. Well, you just need to go find out and preach. Look, I preach salvation. Okay, every pastor has people that he hopes are saved, but it gets kind of sketchy. You know what I do? I pray for them, and I hope God reveals that to them as church goes along, right? And there might come a day where somebody says, Pastor, I'm lost. They walk the aisle. And, well, my goodness, I'll help anybody get saved anytime. But I'm not supposed to root out the tares. You know what I mean? Are you, you know, and do I'm not supposed to do that. That parable is a kingdom of heaven parable. Okay, watch this. That's the wheat and the tares, the hid treasure in the field, the pearl of great price. Here we go. You're in Matthew 13. Most of these are. Go to Matthew 13 and look at verse 47. Here's another one. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47. Okay? Watch this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. That was the second place he turned. He goes, you people that believe the rapture, the Bible doesn't teach the rapture. The Bible teaches the bad are being thrown out first. And as a teenager, when I was being shown that, I remember going, Okay, I understand now. I should have said this. I don't read the Bible like you do. I rightly divide. And Jesus told me that parable goes here, not here. Okay? And in all the kingdom of the heaven parables, the bad is removed first. Okay? So that's good for you to know. Here we go. Let's look at one more. Go to Matthew 22. Go to Matthew chapter 22. I'll show you a classic. Okay? I've probably heard more sermons on this one topic. Okay? When we get to heaven, while literally the Antichrist is ruling here, we're up in heaven with the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then we get ready to ride back with Jesus here when he reigns, right? If you don't know that, just right now, trust me, I'm right, okay? Well, if every time in the Bible the word marriage is used, you think it automatically goes here when we're up in heaven, this is one chapter then you won't enjoy reading because your head's going to go, Mine did until somebody helped me with this. Watch this, Matthew 22. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Okay, you understand in the Bible there's two wives. Israel's the wife of God in the Old Testament. We're the bride of Christ. We're Jesus' bride. We're not Israel. We're not the same. So just because it says a king, that must be talking about Jesus and us. Could it be talking about God and Israel? Okay, keep on reading. It says, made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come into the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, one to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Okay, you know what that's a picture of? When Jesus came, they murdered his son, right? So what did Jesus do? What did God do? Cleaned house, leveled Jerusalem in 70 A.D., right? And the Jews have been judged for rejecting God's son ever since. Okay, here we go. Keep on reading. It says here, verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. Okay, look at verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Okay, if they rejected Jesus here, then guess what's going to happen when Jesus comes right here? The Battle of Armageddon, right? And then, wow, Jesus sets up his kingdom. All right, keep reading. Good and bad are there. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou not in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Okay, there's a kingdom of heaven parable that cannot be in heaven. You're not going to get to the, you know, that's the Catholic, you know, when I stand before the pearly gates, you know, what will St. Peter say? You know, and all that dookie. that's not Bible. But people take that parable and they see, so when you get to heaven, you'll find out if you're saved or not. No, you're supposed to know now whether you're saved. And if you aren't saved, you're not going to heaven to find out. You'll go straight to hell. To teach that parable goes here, the confusion. No, you're not going to get to heaven and God's going to look at some and say, you don't have a wedding garment on, the righteousness of Jesus, out of here. You're going to burn in hell. Okay? So, you've got a kingdom of heaven parable. Just because it says marriage does not mean that it goes with us with the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. It means it is a kingdom of heaven parable. And so, as we look at these, okay, this parable, the 10 virgins, is misunderstood. If you put these parables now and apply it now, you end up with a doctrinal mess. Keep the kingdoms of heaven parables in the kingdom of heaven. If you want to apply it, praise the Lord. You know, you'll hear me preach the sower. You'll hear me preach faith. You'll hear me preach sin and the leaven. You'll hear me preach we ought to seek the lost sheep. And you'll hear, you know, servants in the town. All of this, that's crossover. But it'll help you with your Bible to not get things messed up. Now, as we go through this, there's the chart, and you can easily see the kingdom of God is what we're in now. The kingdom of heaven is what we're in. That's the back of your chart. Okay, gave that to you. I gave you the references, so hopefully you didn't have to take notes tonight. There really is more practical application, but I think every Christian ought to understand this. You say, how come? Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter of the Bible. It's the hall of faith. It's where Abraham and David and all of those that lived by faith and put their trust in God and how they, you know, Sarah and all of them. And you read Hebrews 11 because it starts out with what faith is. And then it's verse 6 is it's impossible to please God without faith, how important faith is. But notice the turn of events in verse 32. Watch this. He's going to say, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah. Those are all heroes of the Old Testament. Of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Okay? Gideon and the 300. Remember? You know, kills the army without a sword because of his trust in God. Break the lanterns and blow the trumpet of the Lord and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. All of those wonderful stories of the Old Testament before the cross where they experienced, here, watch this, keep on going. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's Daniel, right? Man, dropped into a den of lions, you know. And then the lions couldn't open their mouths because God shut their mouths. And they tried to bite Daniel, but they couldn't get their jaws around him, right? Didn't it say God stopped their mouths? Who stopped the mouths of lions? Keep on reading. Quenched the violence of fire. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Delivered out of the furnace, the only thing that was burned was the ropes that bound them, and they came out not even smelling like smoke. Isn't that wonderful? Wow! Watch. Escaped the edge of the sword, and of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Then it turns, watch closely, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, no place to live. He said, it seems like in the kingdom of heaven, this was a time of victory and God working through the people and the miracles and the deliverance by fire and the deliverance from animals. But boy, right when you hit the New Testament, then the blood starts flowing. And the Christians are delivered to the Colosseum and the lions and they're tortured to death and they're bound with animal skins to where, you know what happens when you're bound with an animal skin? They bind whole families. Then they'd wet it. You suffocate to death. Then they send you walking with signs on you that says anybody that helps these people, the same thing will happen to you. And that took place for the first 300 years. How do you go from a kingdom of physical ruling to a kingdom of, okay, if I should brought the Baptist history chart in here, it's in there on the wall. For the past 2,000 years, our forefathers have always met when it was illegal. How do you hide out in a cave and you're providing for your family and you're just surviving trying to live for God and not feel like a failure? If you're living for the right kingdom, which is within you, then you're not a failure. But if you're supposed to have all of the things of the world, like the kingdom of heaven, then yeah, I guess that would play some mind games with you. Then that, you know, you're not rich. You don't have the blessings of God. Our forefathers didn't have that for the past 2,000 years. And they have been burned at the stake. Can you, let me just go in my mind, just one. I mean, millions of Christians have been, they burned in Thessalonica, they burned 400 Christians at once. They made a fire, made the pit, tied them all together, they tie the ropes, and when they pushed the first Christian in, he would drag the next one in, and then the weight of them all would pull them in. 400 at a time. If you go through thinking, I've been sentenced to death, I haven't killed anybody, I haven't robbed anybody, why is this happening to me? You realize Christians before us, who were living for the kingdom of God, my inward values, what God has done for me and my salvation, I'm not living for this world. And I'm not a failure if I lose my house for the gospel's sake. Amen? If I am living in poverty, okay? And watch this. In America, we don't know that. But remember the video of the Christians in China? I'll show you that video sometime. But remember seeing them kiss their Bible for the first time? Unwrapping it and the tears coming down their face. We've never had a Bible. Okay, I don't want that for us. But there's Christians all over the world that don't have what we have. Right? All they have is the inward, the joy, the peace, the consolation of Christ, God's presence. They don't have what we have. And if it's taken from us, here's why I would love to teach you about this. If it is taken from us and we have to live like other Christians, okay, I hope we don't. Sure, I don't. But God's still good. That's easy preaching, hard living, right? How come I can't have everything that everybody else has had? Because God let you be born now. My emphasis is supposed to be on the kingdom of God. And that's where we're at now. Okay? Jesus Christ is king, but he's not reigning yet. Jesus said, thou sayest, I'm the king of the Jews. Okay, give you some verses here. And if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. How could Satan offer to Jesus, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's notice if you'll do one thing, just bow down. And then he says in Luke 4, because they're mine to whomsoever I will give it. You only get authority in this world right now, media-wise, singing, movies, popularity. You're only popular in this world and rich. I'm talking elite rich, like billionaire. They're talking about Elon Musk being the first trillionaire. There's never been a trillionaire before. You only get to do that level if you give yourself to Satan. Read Luke 4, read Matthew 4. That's because right now he's the God of this world. Can you imagine when you start hearing, I don't know, volumes of money that none of us know what it is, and you've heard me talk about this before, but up in Washington, D.C., the senators have a $350 billion slush fund every year to cover up and pay for the sexual allegations against those animals. Okay, not $350 million. I don't even know what $1 million looks like, let alone $1 billion. That's the volume of money they deal with. Man, give me $1 million. I'll go crazy. We'll put a flyer in everybody's home. We'll go nuts for Jesus. Amen. We'll drive everybody crazy. Amen. Do you know to do a mail out for our area and our zip code? If I did a paper that would go to every mailbox, the cost is $10,000. We've never done that yet. We've done a partial. We've paid $2,500. We did it 3 years ago. Y'all remember that for Easter? Okay. But if we wanted to go to every mail, I'm just saying that's the volume of money they deal with. Right now, Satan is the small g god of this world. That's why when you're watching what happens in America, you can't forget that. This isn't the kingdom of heaven. That kingdom's coming. Jesus is coming again, and boy, is he mad. He's going to make it all right. He's going to fix it all. But right now, yeah, it's a mess. And watch this. You want to know something, Nate? God ain't worried a bit. God isn't going, God isn't anxious about anything. Everything's right on line with the Lord. That's what studying prophecy will help you with. Right? Okay, let's keep on going. I already told you, Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. Okay, if you want some verses on the millennium, it's one of the biggest topics in the scriptures, three characteristics of Jesus' kingdom. It's going to be a universal peace. It's going to be universal righteousness and speedy judgment on sin. Heads are going to get, for 1,000 years, heads are going to get chopped off every day in Jerusalem for every person that doesn't love Jesus. Read Zechariah. If anybody doesn't come and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, you know what God says he'll do in Zechariah? Fine. You don't get any water until you come to Jerusalem. It's gonna be neat. We'll be in our supernatural bodies. Amen? We'll be in our resurrected bodies. It's going to be great. Speedy judgment on sin. Understanding this, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, our emphasis is supposed to be on soul winning right now. The greatest miracle we can watch happen is when somebody gets saved. Give tracts to everybody. Invite everybody to church. Give the gospel to everybody. That's what we're supposed to be living for. It's an inward kingdom. Not cutting edge, marketing, purpose-driven kingdom building. You know, you ever heard people pray, oh Lord, increase your kingdom. Okay, if I interpret that biblically, are you trying to grow spiritually? Not, oh God, help us take Mechanicsville for you. Nah, we're not trying to take Mechanicsville. We're not trying to take Washington. You won't. Amen? We're trying to focus on the inward. Let me give you one more. I told you we walk by faith. Your holiness really does matter. In the millennium, you will be given an area to rule based on how you live now. That's all through the Bible. Okay? We're not ruling yet. But if you're a faithful Christian now, and you're faithful to the Lord, God sees everything you do, and God's keeping the books. When you go soul winning and you don't see anybody saved, when you go, I mean, all the things that we do, the toil and the labor, God's going to pay you back. Your holiness right now does matter. Okay? Makes us kings and priests. We're supposed to live for the world to come. You know, this is a neat thought. I put three verses up here where Jesus said, the world to come. It's not a time. It's a world to come. That's what our future is. It's not now. Watch this. He said unto them, verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come. In other words, God will bless you for living, right? God will help you. Amen. But there's a world to come that we're supposed to be living for. The kingdom of heaven. Amen. That's not here yet. I love Romans 8:18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What we're going through right now, and I told you, I don't know what 2021 is going to face. I don't know. Didn't know what 2020 held. But whatever it is, it's not even worthy to be compared to the world to come. If I keep, you understand? I've got to keep this in mind. I'm not living for this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Neat song. This world is not my... I don't belong here. When they talk about we're getting ready to go after conservatives and Christians, all of that stuff, I don't know. I personally think this administration's got a screw loose. Okay? But I don't know. But if they do, it's not the first time. And you know what we're supposed to do? If I got a kingdom of God mentality, Jesus said, if they reject you in this city, flee to the next. I'm not supposed to run into persecution. Oh, yeah, we'll take it for Jesus. No, that's garbage. Proverbs 28:28, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. If evil's coming, that's how come I told you. Are we ready to do church in the dark? Amen. Are we ready to meet in secret? Because we wouldn't be the only ones. Amen. We're going to live for God regardless of whatever's coming down the pipe. Amen. If I'm living for the kingdom of God. Here we go. Circumstances, emotions, feelings, and politics are not supposed to control us in the kingdom of God. Our purpose is to make disciples, and then you should be able to ask, how come bad things happen to good people? Because we're living in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven. Why is there suffering now? Why is there death and disease? You know, I like what somebody said. In perspective, this isn't the only virus. It's not the last one. It's not the first. And there's going to be more. Amen. There's been viruses for 6,000 years. It came with sin. I think there's more coming. There's different ones coming. How could God allow this? Because we're in the kingdom of God, the inward kingdom, not the outward kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. What happens if America's destroyed? What happens if our economy gets worse? What happens if our republic gives way to communism or Islam? What happens if we can't save America? What am I supposed to do if persecution happens? What our forefathers have done, and if we're living for the kingdom of God, the inward kingdom, then none of that affects us. It will our pocketbook, it will our physical, material things, but it does not affect me spiritually. If you want to get specific, every time persecution has happened for the past 2,000 years, the church grows. Now, I don't like that. That tells me this. No matter what we go through, because I'm in the kingdom of God, I'm supposed to be looking for people to get saved. Everybody, I understand once the vaccine comes out, it's going to damage minds. I understand all that. I'm just supposed to be looking for the one God has me here for. And watch this, Christian. You're here in the kingdom of God because God wants to use every one of you. I know that. But can I promise you prosperity and riches? Not now. That's why I told you Wednesday night. Everything's going to be all right. As long as you define all right. Right. But if all right means everybody gets a 23,000 square foot house and four cars and a home, if you're blessed, praise the Lord. But I don't need physical blessings to serve God. And that's the age that we're living in now. Tonight, I hope we took a little glance at a topic. I wish more people taught on this, taught it from this angle. I hope it helps you when you read your Bible. Amen. I hope it helps strengthen you spiritually. But the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, please, I know that I didn't want to overwhelm anybody tonight. But Heavenly Father, please, if we don't think this way, Lord, nothing makes sense.